And just remain standing. We'll go ahead and read our scripture while you're there. Just standing, giving reverence to the reading of God's word. Be in the book of 1 Timothy tonight, chapter number 6. Let me say, it's good to be back in the Lord's house this evening. Good to see this real good number on a Wednesday night. Look around, the place is just about full. And I thank the Lord for that. Been many things that's happened in the past few days that's been working into this message tonight. Just little things, little things that come about, that random text that you get, that little thing that you see, and this adversary that you face. There have been many things that have worked into this message tonight, and I believe God's going to help us if we'll just allow Him. I'll say that one of them was a text about fighting for your pea patch, and you'll know who sent that one. And then Sister Lynn the other day up on the mountain, Miss Martha's friend Dean was, just giving your pastor down the road. I mean, you know, y'all know Dean. Dean's a man, and he's rough and tumble. And Miss Lynn said, "Don't you mess with my pastor." And she's like, "I'll defend my pastor." And she was just getting after Dean a little bit, just picking on Dean back and forth. And I got to thinking, man, would we all defend each other that way? If somebody was going after another church member, would you be so quick to jump up and say, "Don't mess with my friend. Don't you dare mess with my deacon. Don't you mess with my pastor. Don't you mess with my church members." Man, I believe we ought to be so bold in our faith and have courage, especially if somebody's tearing somebody else down. It's just no place to be torn down, folks. We ought to be exalting, edifying the saints, lifting each other up. If you come in here and you feel worse after you leave, after you've been in here, something's going on somewhere, either in here or out there. So let's just get this thing right while we are here. Just for your sake of knowing, Sister Melanie's out of the hospital, even went back to work today, and Sister Jean Potts is home. Jean's got some other things going on, so she does still stand in interest of our prayers. So you still pray for Brother Jean and Brother R.G. Potts and Sister Melanie. All those that's not here tonight, I don't know where everybody's at. I can't claim to know where everybody's at. But there's some still having treatments and sickness, one thing and then another, so let's just remember them. We'll go ahead and read our scriptures tonight in the book of 1 Timothy, chapter number 6, and then we'll go ahead and bring the message. I'll give you the title of it here in just a minute. We'll pick up the reading. Let's just read from verse number 1, probably down through about verse number 15. The Bible says, everybody found your place, say amen. "Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of honor, of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words. Wherefore cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men and corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men into destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called, also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords." I ask Brother Chris if he will bless our scripture reading. Amen. As you're being seated even now, let me just say this really quickly. This is going to be mostly spiritualized, and we're going to be talking about spiritual fights tonight, but in the secular and in the carnal and in the very realm of our being, there are still fights that are worthy fights. And I'm going to say that the title tonight is going to be that some things are worth fighting for. And I want you to think about that tonight. Some things are worth fighting for. I'm always teasing Brother Steve Fall back there because Brother Steve, when he got saved, and y'all don't mind me calling you out whenever I say Lynn took it to Dean back there going toe to toe saying, leave my pastor alone or I'll take you out of here. Brother Steve, you don't mind me using you whenever I say that. Brother Steve is one of those people that he's always inquisitive and he's got that ear turned to the conversation that is at hand. You ever seen a good listener versus a poor listener? Brother Steve's a listener and he's listening into the conversation. A lot of people are thinking about what they're going to say next and they don't hear a word you said because they're already into the conversation. They're going to respond whether you like it or not and they're already thinking about what they're going to say. But he's listening and a lot of times Brother Steve, he's come to me many times, Pastor, what about this? And Pastor, what about that? He's about ready to weigh into something and I'll just tell him very quickly, more times than one, I've told Brother Steve, just pick your battles. You just pick your fights. Some things are worth fighting for, but some things are best left alone. And I'll tell you this, if at the end of your victory, listen to me closely, if at the end of your fight, if at the end of your victory, there is a prize, there is a spoil, there is a reward, there is something to attain, then fight that fight. But at the end, what a hollow victory it would be, Brother Tim, to win the argument, to win the fight, to win that battle. But at the end, you've gained nothing because there was no prize. You said, tell me what that would be. It would be a church problem, a problem in the church about the color of the carpet at the end of the day. And that's very fickle. It's very moot. It's not going to happen. It's not happened here. But what reason would anybody in the right mind have to fight over something that makes no difference? Because at the end of the day, Brother Steve, if you wanted red and somebody else wanted teal or blue and you got the red, what did it profit if 25 or 30 people was involved in that and everybody got upset and they walked out and left and in tow was a bunch of kids that are lost on their way to a devil's hell and they were just watching the fight from their meek little places and they said, what was that all about? And now mom and daddy's unchurched. Why fight that fight? Some fights are worthy of fighting, and we're going to get into those tonight. The text verse tonight will be the 12th verse. I believe to be the 12th. I'm going to get back up here and look. But it will be the 12th verse, and it serves the question. Whenever I read this verse, Paul says it twice. He says it here, and then he will say it again concerning himself in the book of 2 Timothy, and it's about a good fight. Have you ever seen a good fight and a bad fight? I've seen some bad fights. I remember there was one. It was a church that we were affiliated with years ago. And whenever the fight broke out, there was one of the deacon's wives stood there. And she said, don't you call my old man the devil. And I'm like, what in the world? I wasn't a preacher. I wasn't nothing, Brother Steve. But a fight broke out in the church. And whenever the fight broke out, one of the other people in the church house called one of the other ones across the aisle a devil. And told him, basically, you're just filled with the demons and you're of the devil. And by the time we got out there, she's in his business. And it was a wife telling another church member, don't you call my old man the devil. And I thought, what is this all about? Because I didn't know what it was about. I hadn't been involved in it. But I still remember that, Brother Tam. Now, was that worthy of a fight? Well, you know, in the big scheme of things, Steve, it wasn't. It was not worthy because at the end of the day, there's no victory. There's no prize. There's no spoil. There's no reward. There's nothing to gain back. So what is a good fight? In this 12th verse, if you will see it, Paul tells Timothy to fight a good fight. He said, not just a good fight, but a fight of faith. And we're going to see that. Paul says when he's writing the second letter, he said, I have fought the good fight and I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. Here it is in verse number 12. He said, fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. So tonight I'm going to talk about what is a good fight and what is worth fighting for and what are we supposed to do whenever we do fight. Listen, they say all is fair in love and war. And if you're fighting, Brother Tam, pull hair, kick, bite, squirm, do whatever you got to do. But this is different. I'm talking about, Brother Steve, this sometimes is a fight when you won't do anything but get on your knees and your fight will be won because you have humbled yourself to the point that the other person wouldn't. Pride was about to get the best best of them, and pride was creeping up in your heart, and the only thing you could do is say, wait a minute, this battle is not mine, but it is the Lord's, and I'm going to fight this one down on my face before God, and I'm going to give it over to Him, and bless God. That is a good fight, and you will win that battle every time. If God's on your side, who in the world could be against you? If you sign up with this blessed book, and you've got the scripture to back it up, and at the end of it, that fight that you're about to fight has a reward. Well, you say, what is that? I will get there in just a few minutes. If it's doctrinal, bless God, at the end of it, there is a reward for that. Brother Jody, there's a reward for that. If somebody about ready to change a doctrinal position of a church, and you stand up, and you have to stand hard against that, bless God, at the end of the day, to keep it solid, to keep it wholesome, to keep it godly, to keep it holy and right, bless God, you better fight that fight. Because that's a good fight. But if it's over something so trivial and frivolous, Brother Tam, that it does not really matter, leave it alone. You're going to see most of the things I'll talk about tonight is from a defensive posture, okay? And you'll see that. The word is even used in the scriptures that I will use tonight. Some of the things you talk about, Brother Steve, about women in the pulpit, being a pastor, women on the deacon board, using this Bible or that Bible, this version of the Bible or that version of the Bible. We do not take an offensive position. Miss Shirley, we do not go down the road looking for churches that use another version of the Bible and then go in and try to disrupt their service. We don't do that. We would never do that. Let me tell you, they're as saved as we are. A lot of people think that if you didn't get saved under my ministry and you didn't get saved under this old leatherback King James Bible, you're not saved. Man, Scott, if you got saved because I wrote Jesus Saves on a stall in the bathroom wall or on a napkin and you saw that and God convicted your heart, you're as saved as the man that got saved off the page of the King James Bible. And bless God, we don't need to go tearing people down because of these things. Walking or telling them, you got a woman pastor, every one of y'all's headed straight to a devil's hell. No, they're not. They're just as saved as you are. If they're saved, they're saved. They have doctrinal differences than we do. So most of the things that I will preach tonight being about the fighting, the good fight of faith, it's about a defensive posture. Brother Chris, if I preach tonight and I hit about this blessed book, about the King James Bible. Brother Ryan, you need to know why we use the King James Bible. You don't need to say, well, it was good enough for Grandpa. It was good enough for Grandpa. And that might be an answer that would factor into the conversation. But don't come out, well, that's the one that Jesus carried. He didn't carry this book. He was the Word. He didn't have to carry it, Brother Tim, because He was the Word. Understand. And if you don't have a response, then leave it alone. Because you're just going to look foolish at the end of the conversation. The Bible says there are some questions that, Brother Chris, just leave them alone. Avoid foolish and unlearned questions. What do? The Bible said they gender strife. They just stir the pot. They stir up a stink. And Paul said, just leave those questions alone. Don't even bother to entertain the question. Go with me to the book of Philippians tonight. Little book of Philippians. We'll start out there in Philippians chapter number 1. And we're going to go plenty of places tonight, so y'all just bear with me. Y'all good? Everybody good? It's early, and nobody really has to be anywhere for the next few minutes. Remind me before I leave to tell you about the 4th of July service, so I'll forget it if I don't. Somebody just raise your hand or shout it out. Philippians chapter number 1. The first thing that's worth fighting for that God gave me in tonight's service is this. It is the gospel. That's worth fighting for. I put it first because the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And not only him, and not only the kingdom of God, the things of God, but the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And what else? His righteousness. That if we would do that, then all these other things would be what? Added unto us. So the first thing that I want to preach about, Brother Steve, is defend the gospel. You said, what is the gospel? Is that this King James Bible? No. The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. The fact that, bless God, we are sinners and there is a Savior. That Savior is none other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the first promise that we must defend. And we'll see it in the book of Philippians, chapter number 1. If you're there, go ahead and read along with me for just a second. We just got a couple verses in Philippians and chapter number 1 that we'll read. And we'll pick up the reading of verse number 12. It said, I would, you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather for the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds are in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren of the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. And I'm glad, bless God, that if somebody else through something that happens to me, I could be more in tune with God and love God more and be more bold in their stance than bring it on me. If that's the way that it's got to be, I'm willing to bear that, take that on. If it helps you in your walk, I'm worthy of taking a little additional struggle, a little additional turmoil, a little bit additional. If it helps you, I'm okay with that. Paul said, because of these bonds, he said, look what happened. He said, because of that, the waxing confident by my bonds, many are able to speak more bold without fear. Some indeed preach Christ, even unto envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. And that's what I want to say right there. The first thing Paul said was this. He said, I am set for the defense of the gospel. Don't use the gospel as an occasion to be offensive to somebody. The word of God alone, in the very presence of God, the purpose of God, the very hallowedness of the Holy Spirit of God, it's going to become an offense already to some people. He said that he would become a rock of stumbling and offense unto some. Brother Steve, some are going to stumble at the fact that there was a God that so loved us that he gave us his son, and that that son loved us so much that he would give us his life. And bless God, Brother Tam, they stumble over the very simplicity of this beautiful thing called the gospel. Surely there's got to be another way. It almost is like Naaman in the Old Testament. He was a man of valor, a mighty man of valor. What did he do? He was a captain of the guard by him. He loaded down the wagons with shekels of gold and silver and changes of raiment. And he goes and he goes down to see Elijah. But Elijah didn't even go out, just send a servant out. He said, go dip seven times. And he said, what? He said, are the waters of Abana and Pharpar, are they not much cleaner than that old Jordan? And he said, wait just a minute. He said, Mr. Naaman, I know that you're a man of valor. And I know that you've got all this stuff that you were coming. You were going to pay for your healing. You were bringing all that. He said, but if that man of God had asked you to do some easy thing, some simple thing, he said, would you not have done it? He said, sure you would have. That rock of offense and stumbling is there before somebody. And you must defend the gospel, Brother Tam. Defend it. It's already going to become offense unto some, but you don't have to offend them with it. Just be able to take a defensive posture concerning the gospel. You say, well, how would we defend the gospel? You don't have to do anything unless it becomes an offense in your case and in your occasion. Somebody comes to you and starts cursing blasphemies against your God, your church, your word, whatever. Be ready to take a defense of that gospel. Well, if you say so. That book's a bunch of lies. Ain't nothing in here but a bunch of lies. How in the world could this be and that be? And how, there ain't no way that that could possibly take place. The word of God says that that settles it. Period. I don't want to argue the scriptures with you, but I'll be willing to reason with you. The Bible said, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. If you're willing to sit down, let me talk to you about it. I might be able to show you some things out of that blessed book. But if they're just doing it, Brother Tam, as an offense to goad you and prick you and try to hurt you, just be ready for the defense of it, but don't use it as an offense. Defend the gospel. If you're going to defend anything, defend the gospel. It's okay to defend your pastor. I want you to defend your pastor, defend your church, defend the one that sits beside you, behind you, in front of you. Be willing for that, Brother Steve, but above all, defend the gospel, because that's the good news. Somebody told you about that good news. What did that woman at the well say? Come see a man that told me all that I ever did. What's she saying? She's let me tell you some good news. As cold waters are to a thirsty soul, so is what? Good news from a far country. Be ready to defend that. Brother Chris, somebody starts blaspheming your God, just stand your ground and tell them, man, I'll tell you, you might not feel that, but I'll tell you what he did for me. I'll tell you what he did for me. Brother Chris, that's the defense of the gospel. I was 13 years old on my way to a devil's hell, Bubba. God reached down further than I could reach up, and he saved my soul from hell. That's what he did for me. And then later on, Brother Tammy found me faithful, put him into the gospel ministry. Can I just talk about him just a little bit? Let me just defend my gospel just a little bit. God is good to me. And it'll work out really quickly. They'll get in or get out. They won't stand there toe to toe and go neck and neck with you. They usually won't do that, Brother Steve. They're just trying to get you a little bit, hit you while you're on the passing or something. But my friend, be ready to defend the gospel. If you were to flip back over to Timothy, go on over to 2 Timothy this time. We started out in 1 Timothy chapter number 1 in verse number 6, but we're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter number 4. We're looking at a good fight. Some things worth fighting for. You ever fought any bad fights? Oh man, I fought some bad fights. There wasn't nothing going to come good out of that, Brother Woody, but there we are right in the middle of it. I found myself in a lot of them over the years. They serve no purpose other than my ego. Nothing more than my vanity. He hit me, what am I going to do? Ginger's not going to be turned the other cheek. I'm going to get my 2 cents. That's the way we work, Brother Tim. We got pride and ego. Somebody does something, tell you, what are you going to do, Brother Steve? Vengeance is mine, saith the Mark. Vengeance is mine, saith the Steve. I will repay. I'll get you back. Payback is hard. The Bible said vengeance belongs to the Lord. We ought to let him repay. But I'm telling you what, you've been in some stupid fights over your life, Steve. And I don't mean fist fights either. I mean sometimes you walk right in the middle of a brawl, and sometimes you walk right in the middle of something. Sometimes you cause them. I do. I have. Not proud of it, but sometimes we do that. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 4, the next thing that I want to talk about is defending your faith. That's a fight worthy of fighting for. Amen. If you won't fight for your faith, what would you fight for? If you won't fight for the gospel, what will you stand for? If you won't stand for the very gospel of Jesus Christ and you won't stand for your faith, what would you stand for? Amen. Honestly, what else is there? Paul said in chapter number 4, if you're looking along with me, he said, I have fought the fight. In verse number 6 says, for I am now ready to be offered, for the time of my departure is at hand. We're talking about fighting. In verse number 12 over there, he told Timothy to fight the good fight of faith. Here he is, and he says these words in verse number 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Because he hath done that, he goes into the next verse and says, there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me. But not only to him, but to all them that love his appearing. Let me say on the next thing that you should be willing to fight for is fight for your faith. You say, what is the faith? What is faith? Faith is that substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Bless God, we are in here tonight worshiping a holy God. And we worship him in spirit and truth because he is a spirit. But bless God, that is the basis of our faith. We are in here tonight, Brother Steve, because I believe, I mean, we put it on the wall up there saying, having been led as we believe, our faith, Brother Tim, is what we believe. We are saved by grace through faith. And bless God, you want to be able to defend that faith, stand up for that faith. And let me tell you, friend, don't be shy about it. So many times we get really, really shy about our faith. Are you shy, Brother Kenny Anderson? Somebody says, are you saved? If you're in a circle of people, Miss Laura, and the Lord Jesus Christ comes up, the Bible, anything concerning religiosity or anything concerning, but Tam, do you get sheepish and shy about it? You don't even want to get into the conversation. You start kind of, I'm going to sidestep this conversation. Brother Steve, wait right in the middle of it. You work around people that are all the time in the midst of death and dying and grief. You ought to be one that should be bold in that and stand up. Fight for your pea patch. Fight for your faith. Fight for the gospel. And be willing to help somebody in their time of need because they might need that. Don't be sheepish about it. Fight for your faith. It's a worthy fight. You said, well, how would you say that it's a worthy fight? You told us that don't fight a fight unless there's something good that could come out of it on the other end. There's just good on the other end. Somebody might get saved. Somebody might be saved because of your stance on the gospel and your defense of the gospel. Somebody might get saved because of your stance on your own faith. All you're doing, it's like Brother Obed said, it is one beggar telling another beggar about where you can find food freely. That's what he said. He said it's nothing more than one beggar telling another beggar where he got bread and he got it for free. That's faith, Brother Tim. And you'll not be sheepish about that. You got a good deal. You got a good savings. You got a good meal. You got whatever. Tell somebody about it. You got a good faith. Share it with somebody else and be bold about it. You don't have to be sheepish about it. It's worth fighting for. This next one, I jotted this down, didn't even really think I was going to preach much on it. But since I hit it with Joe a while ago, we're going to hit it right now, just a little bit. The King James Bible. We put it on our sign. Must be important to us, Brother Kippy. We got a little ad that comes out every Thursday in the newspaper. It's in our little church directory ad. It's in there. KJV. We got two signs, one down here at Pads Road and Winkler Mill. We got one up here at Boone Trail and Winkler Mill. Brother Greg, what's it got on it? It's got something about being KJV on it. We got it on our sign out there. It must be important enough. We put it on all of our literature. We put it on all of our signs. We put it on everything. We stamp our endorsement on everything. But it's got the KJV on it. We ought to be able to defend that. Or to be able to fight over that. Not as an offense. Don't take it to other people and say, y'all shouldn't be using it. No! Understand where it comes from. Understand why we use that, Brother Ryan. Go with me to the book of Psalms, chapter number 12, very quickly. Chapter number 12, verse number 6, I believe that it is. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time on the King James Bible, hopefully and prayerfully. There's nobody in here tonight trying to use a floppy version. But bless God, if you need more information on it, get with me, Brother Derek. He's almost a scholar in this. And Brother Derek, you'd be ready to defend it if it comes that way. Bless God, there are two types of the scripture. One is the Antioch. The scripture that come out of Antioch, which was in Syria, and then you have what's known as the Alexandrian text. That Alexandrian text, where's Alexandria? That is down in Egypt. The Bible clearly says, is anything good ever come out of Egypt, except out of Egypt have I called my son? Speaking when Joseph and Mary, when they fled, because Herod was killing all the male children under the age of two. But in this 12th chapter, in the book of Psalm, chapter number 12, verse number 6, the Bible said that the words of God are pure words, purified. Read along with me. Somebody give me a Bible. Chris, you ain't found it yet. You got your brother Chris. The Bible says in chapter number 12, verse number 6, it said, Chris, I can't even read yours. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of the earth. What's it say there? Purified seven times. You say, what does that mean? It means that in the English speaking language, that the 1611 King James Bible was the seventh completed Bible. The seventh completed Bible being the one that, bless God, we use today. We use a later version because there was some of the 1611 that was not considered to be canon of the scripture. It was to be more of a historical context, and it was not meant to be canon of the scripture. It never was and never will be. We use probably an 1884 or somewhere, a different version of it, but it is the exact same Bible as the 1611 with some of the lettering changes a little bit. But you said, what's important about that? Because they had the other Bibles, the Geneva Bible, the Tyndale's Bible, the People's Bible, the Bishop Bible, the Great Bible, all these other Bibles. But it was the seventh Bible, Brother Tam, the King James Bible that we use today. It's the seventh one for the English speaking people. The Bible says don't add to, don't take away. Do you realize that so many words have to be changed in every single translation, in other words, to get the new copyright? Did you realize that the King James Bible is not a copyrighted work? You can take it, Brother Steve, right now and go start to the print. You go print and sell them all you want to. It's not copyrighted. You can use it all you want to. Put the centerline margin and start putting your own take on it, referencing this and running here and running there. That's centerline margin. This part is a copyrighted work. Why? Because somebody put the legwork into making sure that this runs a reference back over to there. That's copyrighted, but the script itself is not copyrighted. We're going to be able to defend our position on that. And I use that very lightly to say, don't take it as an offense. Don't take it to people and say, you don't use the right one. Just tell them why. If somebody questions, why do you use the King James Bible? Take them and pick you out four or five scriptures in there and hold true to that. And then you can really, really, really defend what you're talking about. When the Bible said, behold, the virgin shall conceive and shall bear a child and shall call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us. The other versions, Ryan, tell us, behold, the young maiden shall conceive. You start taking the virgin birth out, what are you going to hang the very deity of Almighty God on when it comes to the birth of Christ? What are you going to hang it on? There's a lot of young girls or young maidens having babies. She had to be a virgin because all the other bloodline would have been tainted. Every bit of it would have been tainted. So we're going to keep moving on past that. But if you want to do a study on that, we've done it. We've got it on tape. I've got a flip side. I've got a, PowerPoint presentation we've done on the defense of the King James Bible. The library downstairs probably got about 20 books on in defense of the King James Bible. There's a video series called One Book Stands Alone. If you can't read, don't want to read, too lazy to read, whatever it might be, there's a video series down there, a whole six or eight DVD set on called One Book Stands Alone. You can get it. It's in the library. Check it out sometime. That'll help you on that. Anyway, keep going. Now here, the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. We probably have more problem with this next one than all the others put together. It's fighting to keep our bodies in subjection to the Holy Spirit of God. That's the hardest fight that I fight. Brother David, I'm ready to go toe-to-toe with somebody when they start talking about faith or gospel or scriptures. I'll talk to them, Brother Woody, all day long about did man come from monkeys or primates, or did God really make this, or did we come from a Big Bang theory, or was there a gap theory? I'll talk all day long about that stuff, Brother Tam. But when it comes time for me to start fighting and keep this body in subjection, I have a hard time with that. You know why? Because this flesh is not saved. It still wants to do the things the flesh wants to do. But in the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter number 9, I want you to see something here, because I found this to just kind of almost fluoresce off the page. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, and I'll pick up the reading in verse number... I'll just read number 21 down through a few. It said, "To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak I became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know you not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain." Now listen to the next few scriptures. "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep my body and bring it unto subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Now let me tell you, that's going to be one of the hardest fights that you will fight, Brother Tam, because the flesh wants to do what the flesh wants to do. If the flesh is tired, the flesh wants to sit down. The flesh doesn't want to go to the hospital and make a visit. The flesh doesn't want to go knock on a door. The flesh doesn't want to go see a loved one that's sick. The flesh doesn't want to go witness to anybody. The flesh wants to do what the flesh wants to do. And Brother Steve, I'm like the Bible said, that there is an enmity between me, the carnal mark and the spiritual mark, and bless God, the one that I feed is the one that wins, and bless God, I have to keep fighting over and over, Brother Greg, because that old man of me, he wants to come up, but bless God, I have to keep on, Brother Dave, fighting, Brother Tim, fighting every day to keep that old flesh under subjection. You said, do you have desires and carnal thoughts? We all do. Be honest with yourself. But bless God, we can. Don't let anybody tell you that it's impossible. You can keep yourself in subjection. You've got to keep going to God's house. You've got to keep studying. You've got to keep reading His words. You better hang around people that are like-minded and think the same way. The Bible said iron, what's it do? It'll sharpen iron. And bless God, you get around good people. Get in a good God-fearing Bible-preaching church and be around those people that love God. And Brother Chris, it ain't going to be long when Mary Doris says hallelujah. Oh, bless God, you're going to be back there saying, I wish I could say hallelujah. Bless God, there ain't nothing stopping you from saying hallelujah. You say, well, Brother Kenny says, amen. Bless God, there ain't nothing stopping and you're saying amen. You can get as involved as you want to be, but this old flesh is going to say, don't do that. Don't do that. You're just aping somebody else. You're just mimicking. You're just doing what they're doing. I remember the first time I said amen, Brother Tam. I do. It scared me to death. I remember the night I announced my call to preach. That scared me to death. You said you knew you was going to do it a fourth time. You better check up. I didn't have a clue. I knew it was coming. I did for about 5 years by the time I knew it was coming. But that night, Macy, little feet probably barely would hang off the piano bench. She got up and sang, I thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me. I got plenty to eat, shoes on the table and all that good stuff. Next thing I knew, I stood up, don't thank God for saving me. And I stood up and said, I'm going to preach. Scared me honestly to death. Cindy, you were there. I said, what did I just say? What did I do? Tam, it was honestly that way. I stood up and said, I'm going to preach. I just ran and fell on the altar. I said, what have I done now? My little sweet, humble pastor, Brother Jack Osmer, got here and said, what did you just say? What did you just say? What are you going to do? I said, Brother Jack, I guess I'm going to have to preach. Necessity hath laid it upon me. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. But I'm telling you what, Brother Tim, this flesh fights that. The flesh fights me. Brother Kenny, how many times did you quit? Every Monday? Who was it told me the other day, said that they're... Who was it? Who's got a pastor that's... was it you? It was you. Said Brother Larry quit every Monday. Every Monday morning, Brother Larry done quit. But by Wednesday night, he was ready to mount the pulpit again. I don't know what it is. I tell you, partially what it is we fight against this flesh. The Bible says, for we fight not against what? Flesh and blood, but against principality. But what those principality stuff do, Brother Tam? Who's your adversary? Who's the devil? Comes into your heart and starts messing around, fingering around in your mind, trying to stir up the old conscience, stir up that old mind, trying to get you to do things, say things. God help us, because our adversary, Brother Ryan, the Bible says he's like a roaring lion. I think he's more roar than he is bite, because he ain't going to get me. He can't get me. But sometimes, man, he causes his flesh a trouble. Fight for the body. Keep that thing in subjection. Fight for your... Let me tell you, I've seen so much... I'm just going to hit on this. Didn't even mean to get into this, except that there's a Sunday school class meeting here Friday night. And Cindy and myself and maybe some others in here tonight, if you've been invited as a guest to that Sunday school class, raise your hand. Raise your hand, Cindy. You know why we're going, Brother Woody? You know why we're going? We're going to be in the hot seat. You're in the grilling. What are we there for? We're there to tell them, the young married. We're there to tell the young people, not just young married, but the young people, about longevity of marriage, about finances, about the things that we have faced and challenges in our own lives, the things that we've had to fight for. And I'm going to be honest with you. The home is worth fighting for. It's so neglected right now. Brother Steve and some of them were talking about the other day about how many homes now, brother, it used to be less than 1 in 2. Now, brother, it's over 1 in 2. Over half of all marriages, over half of all marriages now will end in divorce. That is so sad. My marriage is worth fighting for. My children's chastity, purity is worth fighting for. Their souls are worth fighting for. It gets quiet when we start talking about some of this stuff. But Brother Joe, you've got 2 daughters. Guess what? I had 2 daughters. Do you realize at the tender age of 22 and 26, that my daughters, they're grown. I'm getting ready to give her over to this young man. And then hopefully he'll become the man to her that bless God, that God wants her to be, him to be to her as far as the head of the household and all those things. But do you realize what your 2 daughters are going to face when they're 22 and 26? Brother, I don't even want to surmise it, think about it in my mind. But you're going to have to fight. You're going to have to fight. You're going to have to stand toe-to-toe with the satanic demons of this world and go head-to-head with them. Brother Ryan, it's going to be different for your granddaughters than it was for your daughters. It's going to be entirely different. And your marriage is worth fighting for. Your home is worth fighting for. Their purity is worth fighting for. And you're going to have to do it, Daddy. You're going to have to do it as the head of household preacher. You're going to have to be the high priest of your home. And bless God, it's going to be that way from now on out. But the home, Brother Kenny, it's worth fighting for. My friends, it's worth fighting for, Brother Greg. This church is worth fighting for. My house is worth fighting for. My marriage is worth fighting for. There's so much that's worth fighting for, because everything seemingly at the end of the day doesn't really matter. My wife was over there with me just last week when y'all were at the movie night. It's the only night that my brothers and I could get together over at my mom's house and try to figure out how to liquidate the estate and do this and do that. Brother Ryan, my heart was broke when I got over there. I didn't say anything to you. I look around, Brother Tim. There's little boxes everywhere. My brother and his wife had been in their box lotting up stuff for the auction that'll take place. But they had 5 distinct boxes. There was a box over here that said Robbie. There was a box over there that said Troy. There was a box that said Eric. And over here's a box that says Mark. And over here's a box that says Ryan. And automatically I kind of gravitate to the box that's got my name on it. And Melissa, in there's a little old pottery bowl that I made in Bible school that had my name on the bottom of it. And I'd made it and give it to Mama. It's a little coffee cup. It's got a snowman on it. And it said, Merry Christmas, 1975. And there was a little 6 or 7 year old Mark had made that thing in a Bible school or a Sunday school class and give that thing to Mama. Those things were back in my box. But Brother Tim, those things were special. The letters that I had wrote my Mama when I was in basic training, some of that stuff was just special and precious to me. But Ryan, I looked around at the rest of that stuff and you know what I said? That's exactly what it is. It's just stuff. That's all it was stuff. So if you see anything of Mom that you want, go ahead and get it. Ryan, that was just stuff. It means nothing. I'm telling you, you're not going to remember that stuff, but you will remember that trip. You'll remember that special occasion. You'll remember that sunset walk on the beach, that walk out to the sea, the sunset over the sound, the trip that you rode up to the West Virginia in your gators and 4x4s and whatever. You'll remember that time that you took your daughter fishing. You'll remember that stuff. Fight for your families. Fight for them. It's worth fighting for. Amen. You'll remember the time your kids got saved. You'll remember the time you got to see them baptized. You'll remember that walking her down the aisle. You'll remember that stuff. But all this other stuff is just stuff. But boy, it's worth fighting for. Your home's worth fighting for. This church is worth fighting for. I told y'all about this lady that I work with. And I don't bring her up but for no other reason to tell you this. She needs to come back. When I became the postmaster out there at the office, it wasn't long and I've got other employees in the building. And brother, this lady told me, she says, you're the pastor of Calvary? I said, I am. I'm excited. I'm naive as a whatever. She said, I can't believe that. And I said, yeah, I'm the pastor of Calvary. She said, that's the most unfriendly church I've ever been in. And I'm like, what? She said, that's the most unfriendly bunch of people I've ever been in. She said, I went one time. I ain't never going back there. Has anybody in here, do y'all feel that? The unfriendly nature off of the folks? Brother Jerry, you've always said, man, those people just love you to death up there. You ain't never got over that. You had never recuperated from that first show of emotion and love towards you. You too, Jamie. There's many of you that come in here, Bubba. You people just love on you. They just like you for your haircut because it looks like the pastor's. You do, not much. Brother Tim, you said, what's this? How's this factor in? It was almost an instantaneous knee-jerk reaction. Brother, I started having DTs and seizures and fits. I started defending my church. And God, y'all ought to defend this place. This is God's place. It was sanctified by God. Set on the side of the road over here. And God, when somebody starts tearing down your church or tearing down something related to your church, you need to be ready to defend that. And I just said, brother, sister, you need to come back. I said, you've not been there in a while. I said, I don't know what was going on when you were there, but you need to come back. I'm ready to defend my church. I hope you are. I hope that you're ready to defend this place. Miss Wanda, it's a beautiful place. You said, what makes it beautiful? It's not the carpet, not the paint, it's not the steeple, it's not the brick, it's the people. Y'all are beautiful. I mean, God has blessed this place. I looked up there tonight and I saw that young people's choir singing. I thought, man, there's churches tonight that won't have that many people. And here we are with that big of a youth choir just singing for God's glory. Man, fight for your church. It's worth it. Go to the book of Romans, chapter number 10. We're still talking about the good fight. Romans, chapter number 10. I want to read the scripture that kind of has been churning around in my heart for some time. I'm just going to quickly read it. I'm not reading it for any other reason but to say stand your ground. You know, some states now have the stand your ground law. BJ, you could inform them on that. You have a right to stand your ground. Somebody's about ready to take your life. You can stand your ground. Even in defense of your family, you can stand your ground. You wouldn't want to. Your son had to do that. It's sad to think that Brother Brian had to do that, but he had to do that. Probably any day goes by, he don't think about that either, if the truth was told, Brother James. I hope we're never put in that position. But I would tell you this, when it comes to these things that I'm preaching about tonight, these positions of faith, the position of not only faith, but the gospel, the position of your home and your marriage, your children, the position of these things I'm preaching about, Brother Chris, you ought to stand your ground on them. You know what happens? You've heard it said that when you give the devil an inch, he'll become your ruler. Boy, that's a lot of truth in that. You just stay there in Romans chapter number 10 because I'm coming right there. But in the book of 2 Samuel chapter number 23, this was some of the deeds of Daniel, of David's mighty men. The Bible said that the Philistines had rose up and they were about to smite the children of Israel, and that David and his mighty men had just taken the fight back to him. The Bible said that he arose and smote the Philistines in verse number 10 of the 23rd chapter of the book of 2 Samuel. For those that write your notes down, you read it later. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. What were they doing? They going back to plunder. They're going back to pillage, going back to see what's going on. And he said, and after him was Shema, the son of Agi, the Haraite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. But look what Shema did. The Bible said that Shema stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. What did he do? He fought for his pea patch. It was worth fighting for. When all the others fled, it's just like David. When all the others fled in fear of Goliath, David stood his ground and said, is there not a cause? And you know the story there. Going back to Romans chapter number 10. This is going to be where I close tonight. The last point that I will close upon. Found in the book of Romans chapter number 10. The writings that we've been reading tonight have been about the Apostle Paul. Paul not only fought for the church, he fought to keep out the heresies of the church. If you'll remember at Galatia, Brother Kim, they kept trying to go back under the law. They kept trying to integrate the law with faith. And as they tried to live under the law, but then grasp this newfound faith, Brother Chris, you can't do that because the law is going to condemn you. But that's what they were trying to do. And Brother Tam, Paul kept fighting that good fight. He kept saying, it's by faith, it's by faith, it's by grace through faith. Quit trying to go back under the law. The law was there to be your schoolmaster, and he fought that fight. Here we are in Romans 10. It's still Paul. Paul's still fighting. And he starts out in this scripture, and he said, brother, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. We need to fight for the souls of the lost. We need to fight for the condemned of this world. Because what else have we got? Brother Chris, the devil couldn't get you to go to hell if he tried to. He can't get you. You're saved. So what else is there? Brother Tam, we ought to fight for the other lost. We ought to fight on their behalf. Brother Kippy, we ought to fight to keep them out of hell. What are you by day? I know you work for Lowe's Company, but you're a volunteer what? Or you're paid?
Volunteer.
What are you, though? What are you called? Okay, what else? Go further. You're a fire what? Fighter. Am I right? What does a firefighter do? He fights fires. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
What is hell? Is it not a vehement flame? Ain't the Bible, don't the Bible tell you it's a vehement flame, hotter than anything we've ever could comprehend it or even think? Why would we not fight as firefighters? Why would we not fight to keep people from going to that place? Chris, you know good and well if there was a building on fire and it was reasonably assumed in your mind and heart that I can get in there to get that child out of that second floor window and get out of there. Brother Joe, Ryan, you were in the fire department for 20 plus years. If you could get in and make an act of rescue, you would do that.
Amen.
You would.
Absolutely.
You would put your own self in danger to go in there and get somebody out if you thought you could do that. Why do we let people go to hell, Brother Tam? Is it not worth fighting for to keep somebody else from perishing in those flames? But yet all the time, and that's the devil's slang word is, you go to. Now, the devil uses that. He tells people all the time, you just go straight. You go there. And he tells people, puts it in people's heart. But Kim, nobody will want anybody to go there. I don't care how your worst enemy hated you or treated you. You would not want them to go to that awful place. There's some things worth fighting for. And Brother Steve, above all this other stuff, we ought to fight to keep people out of hell. You're saved. So why don't you keep somebody else from going to that awful place? You know, do you realize, Brother Greg, when you got saved, that was as close as you're ever going to get right then and there. You feel so good in your heart, man. But you know, you can almost get there again, Brother Tam, when you get somebody up to that point, and then suddenly their eyes are open, and man, they too get saved. That's special. I've watched it through some of you folks that have led other people to the Lord. And I know some of you girls that go to camp, and the Ford girls and others that work these youth camps and youth retreats. There's nothing like seeing somebody else just, man, they just light up. They finally grasp it, that there's a Savior that died for their sins. Brother Charles, we're to keep fighting for that. Amen. We're to fight to keep people out of that awful place. I'm going back to our scriptures tonight. In the book of 1 Corinthians, I'm sorry, 1 Timothy. I told you there was a good fight and a bad fight. The good fight has a price. And I can take you to each one of those things and show you. I talked about the gospel. Is there a price at the end of that if you guard the gospel, defend the gospel? Sure there is. Somebody's going to hear the good news. Every bit of it goes in together. The faith. To keeping people out of hell. There's a prize on that. Your marriage. Your home. There's a prize in that. That your kids might arise up and call her blessed. Speaking of the Proverb 31 woman. There's a prize in guarding your family. There's a prize in guarding your church. Why, Brother Greg? Because he's got two babies over there. They're going to need a Holy Ghost filled place to come and worship. They're going to need to hear songs of Zion sung. They're going to need to see what a good marriage looks like. They're going to need to hear the teaching of Jonah. They're going to need to hear about those things. Well, you remember Zacchaeus was a wee little man and a wee... They're going to need to hear that story. They're going to need somebody to teach about how he climbed up in a sycamore tree. You said, yeah, that's old. Yeah, but it's not old to them. They've never heard it. It's brand spanking new. There's people in Wilkes County, Brother Tim, has never heard the story of the gospel. And that's sad. It's so sad that some of these things are worth fighting for. I'm going back to our scripture in the book of 1 Timothy. We're going to close this thing down. Brother Scott is downstairs. Miss Macy, just come on and play something softly on the piano. Paul said in chapter 6, verse number 12, this is not a suggestion. I believe it to be a commandment. He says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Like I said, a good fight has a happy ending and has a reward, has a spoil, has a victory, has a benefit. But a bad fight, at the end of the day, there's nothing there. It would be an empty victory. If Cindy and I got mad at each other to the point that we were fighting, put them up, put them up. If I was right and she was wrong, Brother Tim, and I won that fight, but our marriage busted up as a result of that stupid argument or that fight, what did I benefit from being right and winning that? If I lost my wife and my family, because that's going to affect this ministry. It's not going to just affect this ministry. It's going to affect this church. It's not going to just affect this church. It's going to affect that family. It's going to affect everybody. But I won. I was right. I won that fight. What did I win? I lost. As we stand all over the house tonight.